Seminari.
Well, it's a bit of a surprise to me. It was Ted Garrett as I walked in, so please excuse me if I don't come really prepared. So it's going to be off the cuff, but I hope I can fill some time and give a good message to you. It's a little bit of a switch for me that I've never done both second step and second tradition at the same time. But, when they come in, they always say, if somebody asks you to speak, you say yes. We're all talking about trying to give back what was freely given to you. So I'm going to give it a shot and see what happens. And hopefully I can fill up some time so I don't have to make Rosie speak too long. In a way, I'm happy they asked me to go first because I know Rosie's much better at it than I am. So I actually came in to listen to what she had to say. So. Now, I always say that, the steps are to protect me from me and the traditions to protect you from me. So I like to look at when they talk about in the second tradition, an ultimate authority, a loving God as he may can express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Wow. You get a bunch of addicts together in a business meeting and find out who wants to govern real quick. Right? So it's very difficult to sit there and try and sit back and just, be part of a group and to not try and inflict your personality on the group. Our job is to keep the doors open. So, and our traditions are to keep us in line so that we can keep the door open, because I'm so glad the door was open when I showed up. If there was no Narcotics Anonymous, if somebody didn't go through the trouble of opening the doors and getting the meeting set and being there for me when I came in, I wouldn't be here. No, what I used to do and the way I used, I didn't really know how sick I was. The things they say is once you start getting clean, do things for yourself, go see the doctors, things like that, right? When I was using, I never wanted to go see a doctor. I didn't want him to tell me I was an addict. I knew I was an addict. But I didn't want him to turn around and tell me I was an addict. I was kept away from anybody or anything that would look at me and say, hey, you're an addict. After coming in and finding out the damage I'd done to myself, if I had kept using, a couple of months, I wouldn't have been alive. So I thank God that he brought me in here. And if you think about what I like about the first three steps, first one says I can't, second one says he can, third one says I'll let him. Well, I always had a God in my life. And I believe he's the one that brought me in. I grew up Catholic, but I was not very religious. When I was young, to me in the religion, I had a very loving and caring God. As I got older, my religion and the people in my religion were trying to make hell and brimstone, and they drove me away. So for me to turn around and say, look at a loving and caring God, I didn't have a problem with that because I always knew I had one. The religious people were chasing me away from him. So for me to have to say, okay, I need a higher power in my life, who I choose to call God, that was easy. Now, as an addict, I used to pray all the time. The prayers were different. In the morning it was, oh God, please don't let me do this again. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, oh dear God, please let my connection be there. So they were crazy prayers, but ultimately at the end of the day, I would say some prayers. And I believe that's how my higher power got me in here, got me to wake up one day and say, hey, do something. Like I said, for years I knew I was an addict. I just would never admit it. But I also knew me. If I opened my mouth and told somebody that, then I would have to do something about it. I'm the type of person, if I say it, then I have to do it. And I never back down. So I surrendered finally and said, hey, I'm an addict, I need help. And I quite honestly didn't walk right into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I went to an outpatient program. I didn't have enough nerve to walk into the rooms. I was just scared, nervous, didn't know what to expect, didn't know anybody in the rooms. I remember driving through a parking lot at St. Gabe's. All these people are standing outside to go in to a meeting. I'd never been in one, and I'm driving through. My best friend's trying to get me to stop, and we're fighting in the car as I'm driving. Everybody's standing there looking at me. I remember the looks on their faces, you know. But one of the people in my outpatient program had said, he said, listen, during the outpatient, they said, you know, you should find a group and continue on once you get out. And one of the gentlemen in that group brought me to my first meeting. And I had to thank him for it. I pray for him every day because I don't see him around. You know, he brought me in, but God knows where he is now, you know. And I also remember that first meeting. That first meeting was an anniversary meeting, and it was a one-year anniversary, and I was absolutely stunned. I'm sitting there going, oh my God, he went a whole year. How the hell did he do that? It gave me hope. I said, well, he could do it, maybe I can do it. And it was an amazing feeling. All of a sudden, like, wow. Look at all these people that, you know, they were just as sick or as sick as I am, because I'm still a very sick person, you know. But they taught me I didn't have to use, and that I could do it one day at a time. Sometimes it's 1 hour at a time. Sometimes it's 1 minute at a time. But that's why I have a telephone with a lot of numbers in it. You know, I've been around for a little while, but I still, you know, someone always says, hey, you know, you're an addict. You think about using. That's what addicts do. You know, doctors think about curing people. You know, mechanics think about fixing cars. Addicts think about using drugs. You know, it's just who we are. The thing is not to act out on it. You know? But coming to the second step and saying, hey, you know, what I like in there, it says the higher power that could restore us to sanity. It doesn't say you will. You say could. You know? And that just stuck with me. Because, like I said, we're still a little insane, or I'm a little insane, I know that. You know? Because I had that insanity. Why would I keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? You know, there's certain things in my life I still do that what I haven't learned yet. You know, so that's why I say, yeah, it could restore you to sanity little by little. I still need it. My sponsor always says you need a lot of work. You know, so he's right. But God brought me in here, my higher power. And sometimes I think about that saying that talks about it, you know, you see two tracks in the sand and then one and then two. And say, God, where were you when I needed you the most? I was by myself in the sand. And he said, no, that's when I was carrying you. And I believe that, you know, because without him, I wouldn't be here. You know, he picked the right time to drag me in. Then I come into a loving and caring fellowship, at least on the outside, until I went to my first business meeting. Then I seen all the insanity coming out. Sometimes I have to stop and sit back and look and turn around and say that someone in the group finally comes in and say, hey, time out. This is to keep this meeting open. This is for the newcomer. This is to save someone's life, like they saved mine, or like they saved yours. You know, so we need to remember who we are and why we're here. And sometimes you could get the meeting back in order, but there's always somebody that wants a control. We're a bunch of addicts. We can think of the craziest things, and we can justify the most irrational stuff or find a way to make it sound right, because that's what we did when we were out there. You know, it's a lot of the actions we used just to survive, they're hard to get rid of, you know? So it's really wild, some of the meetings. Our group went from a little craziness down to very serene, sometimes too serene. We have a business meeting, the last 10 minutes. We started, it was a half hour, 40 minutes, who's arguing, who's doing this, what's doing that, no, we shouldn't do that, we got to do this. It was all frivolous stuff, you know? It's all somebody saying, I know better than you. Well, if I knew better, I wouldn't have had to come into the room, right? So you got to remember where you came from. And they can get crazy. On the other hand, I always thank God every day. My prayers have changed a lot since I've been in here. They really have. At first, I just used to pray for things I didn't have, and I had to pray to get rid of them. So I wasn't ready for it. You know? Now my prayers are more or less, you know, God, please help me do the right thing today. I wake up in the morning, please give me patience and tolerance. Because, you know, I never had it. Right? Please make sure I don't harm anybody today. Yeah. Thank you for letting me have a night's sleep and waking up in the morning. I used to be up all night. My drug of choice kept me up all night. I used to dread the sunrise. Now I love the sunrise. It's very beautiful. Yeah. Through my addiction, I kept a job. And I don't know how I kept the job. I used to have to teach people, believe it or not. I'd be up all night and maybe get an hour of sleep, get up in front of a class to teach people. And then go home and go through the same insanity, but I was dying in that position. You know, but once I got clean, within 6 months, I got another position. The position took me traveling all over the world. You see, actually all over the country, mostly, you know, now and then it shot to another country. But it got to the point I traveled so much, you know, that any time I showed up at the airport, they'd upgrade me. I remember the first time they upgraded me, the first class, and I'm sitting there, I see, look at this, now I'm clean and I can get all the free drinks I want. You know, what's that? But what was very interesting in there, because, you know, I'd sit there and I'd start paying attention. I'd say, no thanks, I don't drink. And start looking around, and more than half the people would, no thanks, no thanks. I remember one time I said that. I said, no thanks, I don't drink. The guy goes to me, he goes, how many years you got? Business suit, you know, ink wig. He said, yeah, you know, Simon and Ink. You start looking around, most of the people in first class were in NA. All the ones that weren't drinking, you know, they were either in Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah, it was amazing. Because, you know, you think, you know, all the addicts, most people, a picture of an addict is a homeless junkie on the street corner. No, not somebody that maintained a position in a company, but was a hopeless addict also. We were good at putting on faces, weren't we? No, I was pretty good at it. And it doesn't matter where you're from. No, an addict's an addict. Our last name is all the same, addict. But sometimes I'd be up in the morning, be on an airplane before the sunrise. I'd come up over the clouds and see the sunrise. I thought that was so beautiful. When I was in active addiction, if I had to see that, it would be like, ah, close the thing now. I need sleep. So it's beautiful. I love being clean now, and thank God for it. know, all the things I took for granted, I now appreciate so much. You know, it's my higher power that brought me here and got me to appreciate that. So, now my kids were young. I missed them. From when they were babies, I missed them growing up. I was in the house. I was there, but I wasn't there, if you know what I mean. You know, I don't know why my wife kept me there and didn't kick me out. You know, so I was the guy that hid in the basement, or the animal in the bedroom on Saturday mornings so that you don't go anywhere near if he ain't awake. Because I would catch up on Saturday and Sunday. But now I've got them in my life and I appreciate it. It hurts to think that all that time I wasted when they were young. There's so many things I don't remember, you know, like seeing the albums and it's bringing out pictures. And I'm trying to figure out, where was that picture taken? I don't remember that. That's it. So now, every day, I appreciate all the time I have with them. This is a great program. If you're new, please keep coming back. You're in the right place. And I'm running out of things to say, so if somebody hasn't told you they loved you today, just remember, I love you.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
All right. And at this time, to share their experience, strength, and hope, on 2 and 2, we have Rosie B. from Rockaway.
Yeah. 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 All right, now.
I'm an addict. My name is Rosie.
Rosie.
Nobody told you that they love you. I love you with my heart, my mind, my soul, my body, my spirit, my all. Especially you, Joey. I like to thank, I really, really, really would like to thank Narcotics Anonymous and this convention. When I heard that Westchester was having a convention, their very first convention, I said, wow, Westchester. When I got clean, there was no meetings in New York, you know, and like Westchester was the town over. I'm from the Bronx, so that was the county over. And the only thing good about Westchester was the houses were perfect to rob. I mean, they were really, really, the doors were open. There was no, you know, satellite shit watching you and the TVs and all the antennas. You know, Westchester was a good place to, you know, to get some shit. And I said, wow, Westchester. You know, Westchester's having a convention. I'm like, I was in shock at Westchester. You know, and my home group originally was Back to Life in the Bronx. And I got to talk about the second step. And the principle behind the second step is hope, helping other people everywhere. And I didn't have too much hope, you know, when I got clean. I really didn't have any hope. I never met an addict that stopped using. You know, and if you were in my perimeter and you were telling me that you weren't using, you got the fuck out of my perimeter real quick, or you got robbed, you know? So I just like, I had no hope. I had absolutely no hope of stopping. I never met anybody that stopped. And, you know, and anybody that did stop, they went to Daytop, they went to Kentucky, you know, they went to Synanon. You know, those were the three places where you went to stop. Phoenix House, Odyssey House. They would talk about things like reentry. I would say, what the fuck is this, Star Wars? You know, whether you're being re-entered. I didn't understand none of that stuff. And I really didn't care to understand none of that stuff because I got locked up when I was... I robbed the gas station when I was 7. By the time I was 11, I was in the youth house. And by the time I was 13, I was locked up upstate for a couple of years. You know? And always using, always, no matter where I was, I used, you know... I didn't think about stopping. And now, what happened to me was, I went to detox, and I went into a grand mal seizure, and I was gone. I was dying, and I knew I was dying. And all this fucking time I spent trying to die, you know, now it was happening. I had a change of heart. I got a little scared, you know? And a big fat nurse is telling me, oh, we ain't getting nothing for you. You're acting. I said, yeah, I always wanted to be in movies. I was in mugshots, motherfucker. What's this? And I'm in this thing, and I heard a voice, and I said, oh, shit, there's Bronx State. They're going to knock me up there. I'm hearing this voice talking to me, telling me I would go through many tragedies, but I would stay clean. I would live well into my 90s. I'm like... That fucking LSD was some good shit. You know, like, I didn't know where these things were coming. These thoughts were coming to me. You know, I was living in a two-room apartment with my child, my sister's two children. She took me off the street. I had a hefty trash liner bag. You want to talk about having nothing? I had zero. Absolutely nothing. An old man still using, and a 10-year-old kid that I brought through hell with me. I'm not proud of any of that.
That's right.
So now, I clean up. Like, I leave and I go to AA because that's all that was available. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at these people in AA, and I'm saying to myself, man, they're all marks. They're all marks. Look at what God gave me. I'll fix these motherfuckers, you know. And like, I was waiting for them to kick me out. I had my piece on me, right? And I had a big, well, I had always wore big coats for boosting, you know. And I always try to make myself look bigger than I was. I was 87 pounds. My eyes were in the back of my head. I had punk rock hair before punk rock even happened, right? Because I was on a lamb and I dyed my hair so many fucking colors. What color is it now? Green. I'm Irish. Shit. What the fuck? Green hair? And I'm Irish? You know. But it was horrible. Using was horrible. Yes. It took away everything. Every freaking thing that as a kid that I always thought that I had inside of me of goodness, of any kind of goodness, you know, like it was gone. It was gone. By the time I was 7, it was gone. I had attitude. I was going to rip you off. I was going to rob you. I was going to charge you money to leave the room so you could make out and feel up my sister. You know, everybody was a mark for me. It was all about the cash. It was always about copping something to make me feel worthwhile, and I never felt worthwhile. So here I come, and I'm looking at these people, and like, all of a sudden I hear this voice. I'm making coffee in 5 groups. I swear if they fuck with me, I was going to put Kahlua and a couple of hits of acid in their shit and fuck them all up, you know? And I'm in the kitchen and I'm making coffee, and in walk, I hear this guy talking outside, and I said, holy shit, that sounds like Eddie. This was a guy I was in a gang with, and I knew his voice. And I come out, I look out, and there he is. And I'm like, holy shit. There was the hope. In came the hope. And I was clean a while. I was clean like 90 days, I think. Yeah, I was clean a while. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, another one, he was like, another one made it in. He was like happier than a pig and shit. I said, made it in where? What are you talking about? He was like, I got something, some kind of time. I said, oh, you going away? You know? I thought he was getting locked up. I thought he was going in. I got this much. I was like, oh shit, that's, you know, like, I didn't know what half the language, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't get with it. Because all I knew is I wasn't hurting you and you weren't going to fucking hurt me. And that was my hope. And these people started to look happy. I was like, what are they all giggling and happy and party? I have a party without alcohol. I know somebody's in the bathroom doing some shit. You ain't bullshitting me. I'm watching you, you know? And that's what I watched them. But they looked happy, okay? And they let me come in there. And then I got pregnant and, you know, because I was married to Louis De Palma. I married a guy in a blackout. I woke up, I was married to Louis De Palma. Who the fuck is he? And he's, I'm getting clean. He's pissed off. I'm not robbing anything. And, well, I wasn't robbing anything that he knew about. So, anyway, he gets this girl, I get a sponsee, right? And he gets her pregnant. This little 17, he gets her pregnant, I get pregnant at the same time.
Oh, no.
And I went full term with my son. He was at 8 pounds, 13 ounces. And he had over 2,000 seizures. I never heard him cry. I heard babies crying all around me. I never heard my son cry. And I watched for 10 days. I watched my son, you know, leave. Get ready to go. And like I was like, how could this happen? How could this happen? I'm clean. How could this higher power let this thing happen? I couldn't get it. I didn't know what it was. But see, my higher power is loving and caring. Second step. He's loving and caring. He didn't do that to me. That baby was sick. My sister said, you're going to find out why that baby died. I'm like, what is she talking about? Baby was sick, the baby died. And I went to acceptance because I knew from the first step. Uh-huh. The hint in the first
That's
step
right.
is acceptance.
Come on,
be honest, accept it. You're an addict. So what?
Right.
So what? You know what you got? You got unmanageable feelings. Uh-huh. You can't manage them.
Uh-huh.
Till you need a higher power,
uh-huh.
okay, that can manage them.
Come on,
that's where your power is. He wants to manage your feelings. Because once he starts managing your feelings, he's got the contact.
Uh-huh.
He's got the connection. He's got you.
Uh-huh.
Whether you like it or not.
Uh-huh.
And he's got control of what you're going to do and where you're going to go and who you're going to talk to and how you're going to meet them. And he's got destiny. And he's going to have his. He's going to have his, and he's going to enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
because he knows what suffering is. He knows. He knows exactly what suffering is. Suffering is not just not being between you and the drug and kicking. Suffering is putting money someplace where it never comes back. Suffering is putting time where it goes somewhere and you never can get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Suffering is blood, sweat, and tears. Suffering is being in jail, being locked up, not knowing what the charges are. You know? So acceptance that I got this motherfucking thing called the disease of addiction, you know, that manifests itself in every area of my life, not just drugs, money, men, clothing, shoes, pocketbook, jewelry, you know, all of it. I want the whole ball of wax. Material stuff. I want stuff. Give me stuff. I gotta have stuff. You know? And I'm addicted to it because it feels good, it tastes good, it looks good, it smells good. I want some of it. Let me have some. Right? And here it is. Second step, I knew nothing about none of this stuff. That's all I knew is I was shaking and I was baking and I didn't know whether I was going to get clean, stay clean, or want to be doing this, but I just knew using was too horrible to mention for me. That's how low I had gone. Using again, against my will, was the alternative was horrible for me. So I didn't need to be convinced that I needed to be here, or stay here, or, you know, or want this or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I needed it.
Right.
And people did tolerate me.
Mm-hmm.
They did put up with me. And I'm grateful that they did. They let me be who I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when my old man went with that girl, and I lost my son, I didn't tell him you gotta go. I didn't tell him you had to do this. I didn't tell him you had to do that. I just stayed the course. I hung on and white knuckled it until God brought me to the next part. And the next part Somebody asked me to take the coffee commitment at a clean and dry meeting because they got to start Narcotics Anonymous in the Bronx. And I'm like, what? What's Narcotics Anonymous? Well, you can't go there. I said, why can't I go there? Well, you're going to be 13-step. I said, well, what's the 13th step? I don't know about no 13th step. I know about the first tradition, unity. Mm. Is it something like unity, the 13th step? Mm. It certainly is. I could talk about that for a long time. So anyway, I got to, you know, make the coffee, and I got a sponsee, and a sponsee's old man was kicking methadone, and he kept on talking about recovery. Now, here I am thinking about NA, recovery, and sobriety. And, like, I thought those were all three different things. I had no idea what they were, but, so I was just white-knuckling it and staying clean and maintaining staying clean. And, They take me to my first NA meeting, and I heard the white book, you know, that little white book. Mm-hmm. And I heard just them read who was an addict. I heard them read the tradition. I was at the edge of my seat. Like, where the fuck was I? This is me. They're telling my story. This is who I am. So I came to believe in a power greater than myself, not a powder greater than myself. And I couldn't believe that I was coming to believe in something. But I saw people and they were happy. And every single one of them declared that they had a higher power in their life. And they didn't have to tell me who it was. It wasn't important. It was that they had a higher power in their life. And that they were down with this thing. And, it was on, man. This was on. And we got to the meeting. We got to the meeting before the meeting. We got into the meeting. We made the meeting 2 hours long. Then we'd stop the meeting, start the cards, roll out the cards, play cards. Guys went down the block, got laid. You know, this was my type of shit, man. I was like, yeah, yeah. Look what we got. This is nice. Because I couldn't be with everybody that was so well and all these big mega fucking years and all this stuff. I was on the balls of my ass hanging in there. You know, I got a job fucking doing books. I was doing, you know, being an accountant, you know. And then from that I went to being a travel agent. And I never fucking was on a plane, but meanwhile I could get as high as a motherfucker. Okay? Right? I fell out of buildings. I was afraid of heights. You know? I just fell out of cars. I fell out of buildings. Every sheet's on the ground again. You know, what the fuck? So I believed that these people that were down with this and used like I used, that I found some place where I belong. I found a place that somebody said it tonight, like, we're a worldwide fellowship and we're a universal fellowship, and like, yeah, the world has taken notice of us and all this stuff, and yeah, some people are into the greenery and, you know, all this wonderful stuff, protect the earth, protect this. They spend more money on garbage than they do the sick and suffering. I'm down with the sick and suffering. I like the sick and suffering. We're very creative. We got a good sense of humor. You know, we know how to get shit done. That's why Westchester is significant. Having this convention is significant for Westchester. How dare I not take their back and come here and support them? They're making it wider. They're making it more open. They're making it more for us. You know, I always ran out of money going for more. Uh-huh. Had to have more. You know, so the second step, I came to believe in a power greater than myself because the alternative was too horrible to mention. And he did restore me a little bit to sanity. I was able to maintain. And I did get a conscience in the second step. I got a conscience. I couldn't no longer do shit the way I couldn't run the show really the way I wanted to run it. And perfectly, honestly, I was not doing such a good job. So I surrendered to the losing battle, and I wasn't going to win it. And the war is over, and I fucking lost. All right? So I surrendered. And then you know, I went through the rest of the steps. The first three steps are the give up steps, the next three steps are the clean up steps, the next three steps are the make up steps, and then the last three steps are the keep it up steps. I like to keep it up steps. So, and shut up, Joey. I know how you're thinking. I hear you loud and clear. So, in the 11th step, it talks about consciousness. In the second step, I actually got a conscience. I could no longer operate, you know, outside of, you know, being clean. You know, and being clean to me is not just being, you know, not using. It's a lot, whole other thing. And having the principles, you know, the principle of hope. Now, the 11th step, I got that conscious contact with a higher power. That means I stayed on with the power that's going through me, that's keeping me clean, that wants me here. That tells me it's okay. I can maintain this. I can't run the fucking marathon, but I can sprint. You know? And the longer I stay clean, it's not harder. It doesn't get more difficult. It just gets, I get a chance to practice some more. I just get to practice some more. I'm not going to be perfect at this. You know, and when I talk about the traditions, I was a tradition, forget it, I violated, I didn't like that word violate, I hate it because I've been raped, I don't like violate, I misunderstood the traditions, you know, and I used it, manipulated the traditions to get things my way. If I, we're going to have a vote? All right, then let me get my crew in there. Nominate this one, nominate that one. Yeah, we'll run the show. Because, you know, those motherfuckers are going to sit back and not do shit anyway. Those motherfuckers were us. But I'm talking about other people that I don't like, that I don't like the way they're walking, talking, or not serving. I'm going to have an attitude with them. And I'm not showing them anything different or anything better or any growth in recovery. God forbid. Because I'm too busy being, you know, Miss Powerful, you know, who the fuck I thought I was with my NA proof, you know, use proof underwear on, running through the rooms, dressing for relapse. You know what I'm saying? I'll get him before he gets his program. So now it's the second tradition, and it's an ultimate authority. I mean, they didn't fucking make, you know, he's not hiding behind a mask. You know, this ultimate authority is not hiding someplace. He's in here with us, and he's ultimate. That means he's a lot fucking better than me. But my self-centeredness, you know, wants to control and manipulate and whatever because I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose this fellowship. I've been given a message. Not only have I been given a message, I've been given the grace to stay clean since November 28, 1980. And that is a miracle. Ask my family. It's a miracle I ever got clean. Because left to my own devices, let me tell you, left to my own devices, I would have been dead a long time ago because I wanted out. I was homicidal and suicidal. You didn't fuck with me in the street. You did not fuck with me. I was some serious shit in the street. You know, I worked for some serious people. And they didn't play. You know, they did not fucking play. You know, I fucked a judge just to burn my own jacket. You know, and because I fucked that judge, I have a clean sheet. And I sell real estate. I used to do all those B&E's. I got the keys to the houses now. Fuck you. If I used, I'd be picking houses clean. I'd be in the papers. It would be all over. It'd be all over. But see, I didn't write the script. God did. God wrote the script. And you know what? I'm not interested in about the outcome. If this is as good as it gets, this is fucking great. I got hit by a car. I can hardly stand. I went to the doctor's yesterday. I got the report. The report was like 3 pages long of shit like this, right? And like I was trying to read it and shit, and I got to like three. And three said, well, that place is normal. But the rest of the shit's federal. Everything was all fucked up, right? So I had like three pages and had two normal fucking things on the whole three pages that said I was normal. And I said to myself, you know what? If I'm supposed to walk and talk and carry an NA message, God will let me. If I'm supposed to be in a wheelchair, okay, that's what God wants, I'll take it. As long as God doesn't mess with these fingers, because that's the only fucking last little vice I have right now. You know, that's the only thing I have left. I don't want to mess with the fingers. I want my girl to be happy. You know? You know what I'm saying? I tell them, you know, you can do this, that, and the other thing, but the girl has got to be happy. I'm a human being. I don't want to be frustrated. Sorry. I don't want that happening. And like, you know, some people may say, but I'm sorry. There's certain things that I'm not willing to give up. You know? I surrender to myself. And sometimes I even yell my own name out. Anyway, second tradition. First tradition is unity. You see what we got? We got a lovely bunch of coconuts. We got cross the board identification the minute we say we're an addict, because we know, love, and understand everything about you just because you're here. Just because you're here. It ain't about, you know, where you got to go to get this. You're here. Stay. Stick and stay. It's the only way.
That's right.
You know, you want to stay free? Make another mean.
Uh-huh.
Make another mean. Make another mean. I make means. That's what I do. I got meat and making feet. Second tradition talks about that ultimate authority that has control of this fellowship. Things have to get done. God doesn't print flyers.
That's right.
God doesn't open the doors to meetings. He doesn't make the coffee. He doesn't set it up. He doesn't chair the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
He uses you as a vehicle.
Yes, that's right.
And he uses me as a vehicle. And my thing here is to be of maximum use to him and the people around me. I got to be maximum service. No shorts. I can't go halfway with this. I got to go all the way with it. You know, and I like it. I like it. I like being clean. I like having friends.
Yes.
You know, I couldn't, my car was totaled. They asked me to do this thing. I says, how the fuck am I going to get up there? I just happened to mention to somebody, and sure enough, he says, if there's a will, there's a way, I'll let you know. Right? Johnny drove me up. Nice Lexus. Nice Lexus. Never rode in a Lexus before. Very nice. He has all the circuitry and shit. I couldn't figure none of that shit out. I had an old battle axe car just for today call. It got totaled. I said God wanted to stop me. He wanted to stop me. He knows what he's doing. He stopped me so that I could go to the doctors and get this thing taken care of. While they found out this something was going wrong and they were doing some tests, they found some things in me that I didn't know I even had.
Yep.
So now from there, I went from no insurance to not even no fault insurance, because that's what I got. And then I ended up getting Medicaid today, and that was like the higher power. So I'm going to max that motherfucker out, because I ain't been to... I don't like doctors. I don't like doctors. Doctors, either they gave me too much or they tried to kill me. I don't like doctors. You know? And when I'm in a doctor's office, I told the doctor, I'm a recovering addict. Don't even think about fucking let me write a script in, she's got white hair, and let me put her out of misery.
Uh-huh.
You know? Let me tell you something. The mental pain of using, I'll deal with physical pain. But the mental pain that goes into using, and I mean using, I'm not talking getting high, because there's no getting high for this addict. It's just using back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Ooh, get a coffee. Back and forth, back and forth. Ooh, get a donut. Ooh, you're wasting too much money. Ooh. Never mind back and forth. Just use, just use, just use, just use. No, I don't want to fucking be like that. I like what Frank said before. you know, and he looked in the family album, and he, when was those pictures taken? I looked in the family album, and I wondered who the fuck she was, and it was me. You know? But now, I have family albums of my grandchildren. And I have an autistic grandson that's 18 years old, and I took a picture of him. I call him Adorable Dan. Okay, and I looked at him last week, and he loves the snow. We were stuck up here. He loves the snow, and I said to him, let me take a picture of you, and the picture came out, and I said, look at this Adorable Dan, and he said, Adorable Dan. He has the mental capacity of a five-year-old, so people and society would make me believe, but I'm going to make Adorable Dan very famous one day. I got him into artwork when he was a baby. I had him sit and paint and do artwork because I knew that he couldn't come out into our world. So we got to get down in this.
Right.
You know, so if you have, you know, a handicapped child or anything like that, my heart goes out to you, you know, because you are a special parent. I want to let you know that. I want to let you know that it's a privilege to serve the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And I want you to know that your ultimate authority is not yourself. It's not your sponsor. It's not your connection. It's not any other group member in the fellowship. It's the ultimate authority of who you choose.
Yes.
And go with it. And let them take hold. Because you will, if you don't even look back at anything else, know that he will bring you to the brighter side of life.
That's right.
I got three grandchildren. I got a granddaughter that's becoming a veterinarian. And that was something I always hid from my whole family, and that was what I always wanted to be. I wanted to be a dancer and a singer, and I wanted to have animals all around me. I didn't want people. I wanted animals. So my granddaughter gets to fulfill my dream in life. My daughter is the hit. The kid that I said sit on the package, shut the fuck up, put your head down, don't look at what mommy's doing. Grab that 50. She's the hit. She's the hit. She had 15 years clean. She just picked up. But she's the hit. For me, she's the hit. Because she made it through. She's not ashamed of her mother. I don't have an ounce of guilt of what I've done to her. She had a 60th birthday party for me. It blew my fucking socks off. I was totally blown away. I thought I was going to have to carry the guilt ticket for the rest of my life that I could never pay back. You know, it's like, this fellowship is awesome. I can't put it into words. You can't describe this. So this is your first convention and you're new here. Let me tell you, you don't have to lay down with anybody that you don't want to lay down with this weekend. You don't have to be backed into a corner and do something you don't want to do this weekend. You just have to come on in, come on up, enjoy it, have a good time, laugh when you want to laugh, cry when you want to cry, feel the feelings. When they come up, don't push them back down. Let them come on up. Let them come on up and out. You know, men have a hard time crying and all that happy horse shit. Don't worry about that. Cry. Let it rip up in here.
Uh-huh.
It's okay to cry.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's not okay to hold it in and stuff it down and try and bury it and blanket it with that fucking white powder. Fuck that noise. Rub it on your chest, motherfucker. It's not worth it. I don't care how much it is or where they got it or what's happening with it. I don't give a flying fuck about it. You know, what I care about is what you want to do about your problem and how I can help.
Mm-hmm.
And believe you me, if I can't help you, I'll find a motherfucker in here who can.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been clean for 24 years, 24 months, 24 weeks, 24 days, 24 hours, God has blessed you. If you're clean for 24 seconds, please, dear God, help you. Thank you for letting me share and be a part of that.
Yeah.